Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 22. We skipped another week, as has been tradition here the past couple months, due to some, you know, personal business and the fact that I honestly don't think we were all that interested in seeing Pacific Rim.
Although it's getting okay reviews, I wasn't super pumped without Del Toro, but It's one we'll eventually see and talk about.
We'll do a What You Watch and update in whatever, 2 months, 3 months, and give you guys the low-key review on that. I'm Austin Lismore, that's Andy Lavelle, yet again. Glitchup.com, go check it out. I don't know if we've had anything big up there in a while, to be honest.
Haven't been posting as much due to the aforementioned personal items in our lives, but we back to talk about Ready Player One this week and all the news that we missed.
Yeah. All right, so let's get started right off the bat. Actually, you know what? Little news. Hopefully we won't miss again for the next couple weeks. Hopefully I can find a fill-in, but Andy will be gone in New Zealand. We got A Quiet Place coming up, Blockers, that John Cena comedy, Rampage. We will have Rampage in 3 weeks. Hopefully I can find a guest host for Quiet Place, or we can record it before you leave. If not, you will have another two-week break without us. Major apologies. But then we'll be back, because then it's summer movie season, and we'll have it every single week.
This is the wife's dream vacation that we're taking, half a month, New Zealand. So apologies, but we'll be back soon.
All right, news of the week. Box office numbers have come in after this past weekend. Ready Player One surprised with $53 million for its four-day release, which is crazy. $128 million overseas. That's
Jesus.
I was not expecting that. Tyler Perry's latest opened at number two, Acrimony, $17.1 million. And then God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, hits a franchise low opening at number 12 with $2.6 million. Franchise low, is there several God's Not Dead movies? I know there was
one. Oh, absolutely. This is like
the
fourth one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The God's Not Dead cinematic universe is quite vast, Austin. Can I just say that A Light in Darkness sounds like an upcoming Batman movie or something? I love it.
This is the latest DC universe movie, actually.
Yeah. Ready Player One, pretty good opening. I'm kind of surprised. To me, it looked like, obviously it's not going to bomb, but it looks like a movie that could have really fallen on its face. And we'll talk about whether it did or not, you know, from our point of view, but ratings-wise, it's getting solid ratings on Rotten Tomatoes and from critics and users, or audience members.
Yeah, no doubt. I was definitely going in, until I saw the latest like critic reviews, expecting just a bad movie. And that, but I could see sort of the draw, an overseas draw, I could see it, because it's a pretty accessible movie, no matter whatever language barrier you have, or whatever you're interested in your cultural interest and shit or whatever. But I mean, it's mainly just an action blockbuster, so it's easy to access, and I mean, it's got references, and most people
it's
know
full
these
of it's got a reference that everyone's gonna understand and everyone's gonna recognize. So yeah, I can see that, and I guess the studios were banking on that as well.
All right, next up, Narcos star Pedro Pascal has landed a pivotal role in the Wonder Woman sequel. This is a couple weeks after Kristen Wiig landed the Cheetah villain role.
Wow.
So they're packing on the stars here. His role is unrevealed as of now. No one really knows what it is. I think they're keeping it under wraps. I don't even know if they have a script yet. But I like him a lot. I thought he was good in Kingsman. I don't know if he's been in any other movies, really. He's going to be in this upcoming movie called Triple Frontier with, I think, Ben Affleck and like Oscar Isaac and someone else that has been like sort of like a hot piece. And I think it's going to be on Netflix, which is kind of wild. It's a pretty big movie.
Yeah, he was good in Kingsman, and quick Game of Thrones spoilers, skip 15 seconds ahead. You guys might recognize Pedro Pascal as the guy who got his eyes gouged out by the mountain. I've liked him in everything I've seen him in, so I'm going to bank on new love interest.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Hopefully, do you think that they'll make him like another sort of like superpowered person, or do you think he'll be sort of the Chris Pine role where he's just a human?
We need a new Chris Pine role, so I'm banking on just human.
Do you think Chris Pine will come back in any capacity?
I actually think he will at some point in the future. It wouldn't surprise me with the DC.
I think that sort of relationship was too successful. It was like the high point of the movie, and he was just such a great character that I feel like they would be really messed. Although it would be a DC move to not bring back like a good part. So,
did you see the Reddit AMA April Fool's joke yesterday about the DCEU?
Yes, I did.
It actually got me for a second. And I was like, What? Okay, so yesterday there was all sorts of pranks on Reddit, and of course it's April 1st, April Fool's, and Terrence Malick, director of Tree of Life, and a bunch of other kind of artsy-fartsy movies that just wouldn't totally fit with the DCU. Mm-hmm. They basically said he was taking it over and he's providing direction. And I was like, this is a horrible idea, but definitely something that DC would freaking do.
Yeah, they got me too. I was reading it this morning. I was like, holy shit, how'd they get all these people to do these AMAs yesterday? And then I was like, I read the Terrence Malick one. I was like, wait, this doesn't make sense. And then I read like the first couple questions. I was like, is he really doing this? And I was like, yeah, I'm stupid. Me. No.
I hate April Fools on the internet. I couldn't find, like, I was doing a little bit of agenda looking for this week's episode, and I was like, I can't find anything real. I'm not doing this right now. I gotta do this tomorrow, and even tomorrow I'm gonna have to sift through the bullshit.
People just need to make their jokes more blatant. That's what I think. Next up, more superhero movie news. X-Men Dark Phoenix. Ugh.
Dark Penis.
X-Men Dark Phoenix has been delayed to February 14th, 2019. Ooh, Valentine's Day slot. Nice. And The New Mutants, which has been delayed like four times already, has been delayed to August 2nd, 2019. At this point, I don't think The New Mutants comes out. I don't know. I don't understand the delays.
They're not going to can it. If anything, wouldn't they just do like a direct to Blu-ray or something? There's good stars in it. We saw a trailer.
Yeah, but apparently it's not good. Like there's just so many conflicting reports coming out. It was like test screening was good. People are pumped for this. There was actually too much horror, so they wanted to add in more horror because there wasn't enough. And then it came back and it was like, oh no, new test screenings. It was actually bad. They needed to add in a new character and they needed to add some comedy into it. And it was like, no, why are you doing that? And now it's just like they're just keep delaying it and delaying it. And eventually, what is likely is it's just going to switch over to Marvel in whatever, like, a year and a half, which would be lining up when it's going to be supposed to be released, and then I don't think they're going to release it.
That, it's just like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is pretty far along. The production looked okay, but yeah, that'd be a shame. I want to see a superhero horror movie.
I would say the August release date actually would line up with the horror aspect, I think. Maybe if it was a little later in August. I don't understand the Dark Phoenix pushback. Why February? Yeah. That's a big movie. It's a storyline that I'm pretty sure comic book fans love or seem to like a lot, or that they want to see done well after, like, X-Men The Last Stand. Was that the one that really butchered it and changed it up? But I don't understand a February release date for that. That's weird.
Maybe female-led, closer to Valentine's Day excuse for the men and for the couples to go see it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just another thing that makes me think that, like, they don't want to release these movies and just going to keep pushing them back. It's weird.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. Steven Spielberg has confirmed that Colin Trevorrow will direct the third Jurassic World film. Colin Trevorrow directed the first Jurassic World film and was on board to direct the episode 9 of Star Wars, and then got booted after The Book of Henry came out and just got ravaged by critics. But I guess he's coming back to direct Jurassic World 3, which, I mean, I'm fine with. I thought the first Jurassic World was fine. It was just a blockbuster flick. I wasn't really expecting anything more out of it.
Yeah, I was kind of excited for them to take, you know, new director route. I want to see what this J.A. Bayona guy does for this new Jurassic World 2. I really like the idea of new directors putting their different, you know, spin on these new franchises, but just mirroring the new Star Wars movies, they're getting the first one back for the third one. Just a kind of a safe bet. And maybe this means the Bayona one is a little off kilter for what, like, the studio heads wanted, and they want the Colin Trevorrow yes man to come back and just do what they want him to.
Yeah. I was excited, like you were, for to see, like, a different director take it on, but then, like, after the trailers, I was a little, you know, not too thrilled about it. I'm sure the studio has obviously seen more than we have, so I guess maybe it's not a good thing that he's going to be back, you know?
Yeah,
at least in terms of what we should expect out of Jurassic World 2.
Well, I think we talked about this before. The director, J.A. Bayona, said we've seen only, like, everything we've seen in the trailer takes place in the first. We basically haven't seen past the first half hour, so there's a lot we're not seeing. I still hold out hope that this new one is going to have a lot of the horror elements back, but we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Next up, last movie news story of the week. Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston reuniting for a Netflix comedy called Murder Mystery. This has Workaholics co-creator and director of Game Over Man, the another new Netflix movie, Kyle Newacek on board to direct, from a script by James Vanderbilt, who wrote White House Down. Story follows a New York cop, obviously played by Sandler, and his wife, Aniston, who become prime suspects in the murder of an elderly billionaire while vacationing in Europe. They had previously been in Just Go With It, which I guess was a box office hit when it came out, which is, I don't know, it was a below average movie, but it wasn't like the bottom of the barrel like Jack and Jill or something. Sandler just really just steady kicking it with Netflix.
Well, yeah, they signed him to how many movies a couple years back?
I think it was six, and I think he's already got five out or four out, and then he's got one with Chris Rock coming at the end of April, and then, I mean, I guess this one?
I feel like he's been releasing pretty okay movies recently, or at least in pretty like okay movies lately. Hopefully we're getting a revival of classic Sandler and some decent movies here versus the last 10 years or so, which, you know, generally considered as trash, but still make a lot of money and get a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds all right.
I'm fine with the premise here. I think the premise sounds interesting enough. And I think they have decent chemistry. At least they didn't just go with it. I think this obviously is just another way for Sandler to go like hang out in like a sweet like vacation home somewhere on like a resort and just like shoot a movie for several million dollars with like his friends and lounge around without trying hard. But actually, another Adam Sandler news story that we don't have up here. The guys that made Good Time that came out this past year with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah.
They're making a movie about, like, maybe, like jewel thieves or diamond theft in New York. And it's going to be, like, a gritty, like, crime drama. And they want Adam Sandler to be, like, the lead in it. And he's, like, in talks to do that.
Okay. Interesting. I'd love to see him come back in respected roles that we can actually talk about and not just roll our eyes every time we see a trailer.
Yeah, that's it for movie news, TV news. Up next, Donald Glover, who was attached to create and produce and write for this animated Deadpool series on FX. I think sometime last year that news came out. Just a couple weeks ago, came out that they are parting ways because of creative differences. Donald Glover's off the project. Last week, he took to Twitter, said that he wasn't too busy to work on Deadpool, which I guess was sort of like the prevailing rumor, and then leaked a 15-page animated, like a Deadpool script, basically just like the ultimate petty move, rife with just metaphors for, you know, why he was leaving, how the network doesn't understand, like, how to like why he's successful and like why they needed to pay more money or what people want out of the series and how to do that. And I love Donald Glover, but it felt like a bit much because it was very clearly written very recently because a bunch of the like the references in it were like within 2 days of it.
So was it a real script or was it just a form of him to send out pent up anger about the decision?
I think it was a form of him to
pent up anger. Because I was reading it, I was like, how did he write this? This is all really recent stuff. He's talking about Facebook and stuff. Like, but did you see, I think, the test animation for the show?
I did not,
It looked pretty cool. It looked really good. They paired up some of the actual Ryan Reynolds audio from that initial trailer that came out that like got people to really want Deadpool. And they paired it up with some of the animation style that they were looking to go with. And it looked really cool. Mm-hmm. I think this would have been a great project. It's a shame that it's leaked. But yeah, kind of a petty way to air your grievances.
Yeah, I just don't know how much Deadpool we really need. I don't know if needing an animated series on top of the movies with Ron Reynolds. Cause if
I think they're just like, Deadpool did so great. Let's just get a bunch of projects going and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Do you think Ryan Reynolds would have voiced him? Probably not, right? He doesn't have time for that shit.
Yeah, I don't think so. But it's like his baby at this point. I don't know. I can't really separate the two. Next up, so an Office revival has been like hitting headlines lately in the past couple months for some reason.
I guess it's just fan interest. I don't think it's anything official. It's just people keep seeing reboots and revivals, and they're like, do The Office.
Yeah, I think it's like NBC kind of is like, well, maybe, we'll see. They had like one associate was like, yeah, I heard the executive say maybe.
Some intern. Yeah.
But anyways, John Krasinski thinks The Office should come back for a Christmas special. I don't think it should.
I don't either. Come on, man. You already kind of almost ruined The Office the last couple seasons. Don't bring it back. Everyone's going to look all old.
I certainly don't think a reboot is needed, and I don't think, like, a Christmas special would be fine if it's going to be, like, a one-off thing, but I feel like doing a Christmas special just makes, like, the fans want more for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll just be like, oh, we need it, like, let's do it, and then NBC would be like, okay, guys, like, let's bring everyone in, and then Steve Carell would be like, no, and then John Krasinski would be like, no, and all the major people would say no. And
these
then,
guys anymore.
Yeah, and then it would just be, like, all the B-cast of people that, like, are only good as supporting characters. You don't want them as, like, the leads and stuff. So
nobody wants to see Creed. I mean, I'd love Creed in small doses, but nobody wants to see Creed. Meredith was the redhead. Phyllis. And, you know, Aaron has her own show. Stanley does music videos. I don't know if you've ever seen those. He's, like, a singer, and they're really weird. They can't afford Rainn Wilson, Dwight. Like, Aaron is due. Yeah, like I said, they just can't get everybody back.
Of all the big names, I think Rainn Wilson would be the one that would come back. Like, what
I
else
think
is
so
he
too.
Doing?
He was born to be Dwight. Yeah. He's done a couple weird movies and small roles, but he'd come back for this.
Yeah.
They can't get Ed Helms back these days.
No,
come on.
No, not a chance. Yeah. Not a chance. Next up, Stephen King's The Stand series might head to CBS All Access, the streaming app that CBS has. This is coming from Josh Boone, who directed the New Mutants movie, actually. He's been attached to sort of take over this whole thing. But I don't know. Was it originally somewhere else? I'm not really seeing that anywhere, but I guess maybe.
So it's been bouncing around. It's kind of the same. It's in the same vein as The Dark Tower. It's been bouncing around from network to network, production company to production company. It's been almost made by J.J. Abrams, I think Carlton Cuse, the guy from Lost, Damon Lindelof almost did it. But finally, it looks like it's picking up steam at CBS All Access, which just seems like it's just going to go there to die. And The Stand is an epic. It's one of Stephen King's longest books. It connects kind of to The Dark Tower. It's one of my favorite books of all time, so I really would hate to see it go here. Even though, isn't the new Star Trek series on that channel, and it's pretty good?
It's supposed to be pretty good. I still don't think this doesn't really feel like something that should go to CBS All Access.
No.
I just don't want CBS to have like a thriving streaming service. Not that this would make a thrive or anything, but like I just don't want more streaming services. Like CBS is like, we want more people to pay us money, so we're just gonna do all these things and not put it on TV for people to watch. Stupid. What's the difference between The Stand and Dark Tower? I thought they were like the same thing or connected, or I thought one was like a
they are not
or something.
No, and I'm not going to get into what the difference is because it's way too hard, and yeah, I just can't do it.
All right, fair enough. Last news story of the week, Stranger Things news. Millie Bobby Brown, who plays 11, is reportedly getting nearly $3 million more for season 3. What I read is that's actually going to be about $150,000 more per episode than Finn Wolfhard, who I would argue is probably on the same level of fame as her now. That's kind of crazy. She's going to be making more than literally anyone else on the show, more than Winona Ryder, David Harbour, or my boy Steve, anyone.
That's crazy. This girl's going to make a lot of money. I just hope that none of these child actors go down any of these creepy, crazy routes that, you know, some child actors do, whether it's their fault or their parents' faults or their friend's fault. But that is just a lot of money for that young of a person. My God.
That is a lot. Yeah. I have heard, and I think we might have talked about this before on previous episodes, that her parents are kind of like really bad.
Intense.
And intense and not great.
Money hungry.
And I mean, I guess they got their way with this. So if that's the story, she hasn't really done anything else. She's going to be in the new Godzilla movie. But other than that, I don't think she's been in anything else or is even attached to really do anything else other than the young Sherlock Holmes sister movie or something like that or whatever that
is. They're going to have to give her a lot more lines for this money because she's not earning her money when on a per line basis. You know, count up all of her lines compared to the kids. Every time she's talking, it's like, Mike, waffles, no. It's getting 3 mil. Like, come on.
I guess we're just gonna get more of those like episode eights that we got, where it's just standalone episode where she's off meeting the worst group of characters ever.
Wasn't it seven? I think it's etched in my brain as episode seven, the worst episode of Stranger Things ever.
Hopefully we don't get any more of that. All right, so that is it for news this week. We got two trailers to talk about. First up, The House with a Clock in Its Walls, directed by Eli Roth.
What?
Yeah, fun fact.
Eli Roth did Hostel and other horrific things.
Yep, just torture porn kind of stuff. So this is based on a novel, like a 1970s sort of gothic horror novel, made for kids, though. A young orphan named Louis Barnevelt aids his magical uncle in locating a clock with the power to bring about the end of the world. Cate Blanchett and Jack Black star in it. Jack Black, I guess, has just taken over this sort of kiddie horror role. Goosebumps and now this. I thought this little kid was that Jacob Tremblay kid who was in Room and was really good in Room, but it is just sucked ass and everything else, and I was really mad, but it's not, so thank God. I thought this looked fine. I'm kind of into this.
I thought it was tonally all over the place. The first half of it, I was like, well, my wife hates scary stuff, and this trailer comes on, and it's like, did you hear the clicking? And she's like, what is this? And I was like, dude, it's got Jack Black. It's not going to be that scary. And then there were like really scary scenes, but then cartoony tentacles coming out of the door another second. It looks interesting.
Yeah, no.
What the hell this is all about?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I was a little confused. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be like a full-on horror thing because I wasn't like – I didn't read anything about it before I watched the trailer.
Yeah, I don't know a thing
And then I was like, oh, is it supposed to be like joking then too? But then it was like back to like, oh, this is like an intense adventure. And then it's like, oh, no, a couple jokes.
Just kiddie horror. New genre, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, that comes out later this year. It comes out in September. The other trailer this week is for Westworld Season 2, an official trailer. Westworld is coming back. That's in like 2 weeks, I think. Or maybe three
yeah.
weeks or so.
Can't wait, man.
I'm pretty excited. I didn't like Westworld Season 1 all that much. I'm pumped because there's actual stakes to it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm
excited.
Seems
like people can die.
Yep. It feels so just sort of like there's just like this all-out war going on. I'm excited for that. I don't care about is the prostitute robot trying to find
Maeve?
Her. Yeah, trying to find her daughter that was just like an implanted memory. I do not care about that storyline at all. And I hope that like it's not detracting from it like every single week too much.
I think they'll resolve that quickly. She seems like she's going to be one of the leaders of this resistance. So yeah, I'm with you. I don't really care about that drama too much. I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm staying away from what was this frame? Who was this? Did you see the person in this background? Staying away from Reddit. People are too smart, and I just want to figure out the story myself. I'm going to stop reading post episode discussions like. Just want to go in with my own thoughts this time, and I think you guys all should too.
Yeah, 100%. I am not going near the Reddit for this ever again. All right, so that's it for trailers this week. Because we have a short episode, returning What You Watching. What have you been watching,
Andy? I started The Man in the High Castle. For those of you who don't know, this is on Amazon. I believe it's based off a book. It's basically about if Hitler had won some wars back in the day and took over America, kind of shared it with Japan or something. It is an alternative history show and pretty high production value on Amazon, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's a very slow burn, but it feels like it's building up to some pretty big stuff in the last end of this final season. Let's bounce back to you. What are you watching? I got one more.
So I've been watching Atlanta, season 2, the Donald Glover created show that's on FX, maybe one of the FX channels. but is back. I don't think it's quite on the level of the first season, but it's still just consistently really, really good. It's probably like my favorite show that I'm watching. I don't watch that many shows anymore, but like it was my favorite show last year or 2 years ago, favorite show this year. It's just steady putting out great episodes. Really good, just sort of like metaphors and symbolic stuff, and sort of cutting into just these cultural phenomenons and stuff like that.
Now, Donald Glover's your boy. I heard this is really good. I gotta get this a watch.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then I watched Game Over Man, the sort of the workaholics guy's movie. It's okay. It's way more like graphic and like bloody than I was expecting. It's very clearly just sort of like a spoof of like 80s action movies and like Die Hard specifically. I don't think it like necessarily deserves a watch, but like if you have nothing else to watch on like a Sunday afternoon and you want like a couple laughs, I would recommend, you know, turn it on. You can laugh a couple times. That's pretty much all I got.
It doesn't deserve a watch. It just doesn't. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, it doesn't deserve one. But
well, I think we were thinking about doing it instead of Pacific Rim. I'm kind of glad we waited, because I looked at those reviews, and even critics and fans alike, it's like low tens or 20s. Yeah. I've been watching The Americans ever since season 3 or so, and it's on its final season now. And this is one of the slowest paced shows I've ever seen. It's really just about the family. They're KGB spies living in America in the 80s, and it's really, really tense. Final season building up to an awesome climax. I do recommend this show to anybody looking for a slow burn, but a really good performance by Matthew Rhys and Kerry Russell, and has two of the best kid actors I've ever seen in a show. So highly recommended. Ooh,
look at that. All right, then two last things for me. I watched Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Jumanji was great.
This movie is amazing. This movie is awesome.
I wanted to hate it, but my God, it was great.
It is the first off, it's the best video game movie there is. I don't know like if it's allowed to be called a video game movie, but they're in a video game.
It's not a video game to movie adaptation.
Yes, but it's a video game.
We can call it a video game movie. Okay. Sure.
It is. Yeah, it's just so much fun. I laughed a lot. Jack Black is hilarious.
Just the GOAT. Just the best. Just it's like so the best funny. Performance I've ever seen, and I was obsessed with Tenacious D. I wanted to hate that movie, and I loved it, man.
Yeah, without Jack Black, without even like bordered on like annoying or super cliche kind of stuff, making fun of like a high school girl, he was just still so funny. He didn't like cross over to that line where I was just like rolling my eyes. And someone else probably, like if another actor did it, would have done that. The Rock is just being The Rock. I liked how like The Rock and Kevin Hart didn't really like portray their other, like the body switching aspect. It was just like they were just them.
Yeah,
which is just how they are.
So good.
But the movie was great, and I want to see another Jumanji movie like that, to be honest.
I do too. Give me the Jumanji CU. I was very, very surprised by this one. A highly recommended movie for everybody.
Yeah. And then last for me, I've been rewatching Leftovers because my girlfriend had never seen it before, and she's watching it now, and of course I have to rewatch it with her. Just a couple notes. First off, the second season is still the greatest season of television that I've ever watched. Rewatching it, even just so good. So good.
Agreed.
The first season, much worse than I remembered, actually. I told her going into it, I was like...
Didn't age well?
Yeah, I told her, I was like, the first season, it's going to be pretty depressing, but the second season is like really good, and the third season is really good. And then, like, the first season is, like, depressing, but it's not even as depressing as I thought. It's just, like, not that great. They, like, swear way too much, and they, like, the dialogue is kind of weird. I don't know if there's, like, a shift in writers to the second season or what, but just watching the first season, it just kind of, like, I was like, oh, now I remember why I quit it, and then I came back. But anyways, Leftovers. Highly recommend. You should watch it if you haven't seen it. You can even skip the first season and go to the second season, but...
Nope, don't do that. I second everything else you just said, though.
All right, that is it for what we've been watching. Time for Ready Player One review time. We'll start off with a non-spoiler review. So Ready Player One centers around it's 2045 in America, centered around this kid, Wade Watts, living in Columbus, in this sort of dystopian futuristic world, where basically everyone spends their time in this sort of virtual reality game, and like, I don't even know, world called the Oasis, created by this guy, James Halliday, who's played by Mark Rylance in this movie. Basically, the world's gone to shit, mainly because, I don't know if it's because everyone is only playing this game or for other reasons, but...
No, they said that there was, like, energy crisis, oil crisis. In my opinion, you know, you have these crises, whatever, and you create this virtual world. Yeah, people are going to flock to it, but I don't think the idea is the world's gone to hell because they're in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay. They're using it to escape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, this James Halliday, this creator, dies, and he leaves behind sort of this Easter egg hunt for people to go on in this game. Basically, you're trying to find like three keys, and then find this Easter egg, and you get his shares of the company, and then basically $1 trillion, and you automatically get to decide what happens with this company that essentially is running the world at this point, and then you all the money in the world. And Wade Watts, basically it's all centered around pop culture references. This Halliday guy was obsessed with 80s culture, which is, I don't know if that's weird that it's 2045 and they're still obsessed with the 80s or what. And obviously that's where all these references come from in the game. That's what the book is known for, just being just chock full of these pop culture references that essentially is why people liked the book and not for the writing necessarily. It's about his Wade Watts's sort of travels to try and find this out. There is this sort of conglomerate company that IOI that basically has hired a bunch of people to go in, figure out these references, try and find all these Easter eggs so they can take over and then basically monetize this game and all that fun stuff, which, you know, relevant.
Put a bunch of ads in it, yeah. make it pay to win, all this good stuff, basically everything you see in games like Candy Crush today.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so yeah, that's basically the gist of it. Directed by Steven Spielberg, back in his action-adventure stuff. What did you think about this movie?
Went in pretty not hyped. I thought the trailers were pretty bad. I think you and I agreed on that. And I walked away and I was like, that movie was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. And I know that's a pretty safe thing to say, but I just couldn't get super hyped at any point in the movie. The fact that they're all playing a video game kind of left a lot of tension on the table. I didn't feel like the stakes were very high, even though it is a game that it's just a game everyone's playing. Who cares? I don't know. It was fine. I'll give you all my reasoning soon, but what about you?
Yeah. I guess ultimately for me, it would come down to directly in the middle. There are certain things that I loved, and then there are certain things that I did not like at all.
A lot of ups and downs.
It felt like it was Spielberg returning to his very entertaining days, it felt like. He still is like the great eye for action. There were certain scenes in this where I was just like, holy shit, this is awesome. But then there was other stuff.
He's doing something cool instead of the post.
Yeah, he's off of his prestige game. Basically, just it was a good adventure. There was great action. There's just not that much to the characters, and the dialogue is really poor.
Dude, I almost cringed myself out of my chair during some of these scenes. There is some cringe. You can tell this was written by a fedora-wearing Redditor.
there's really no building on like any deeper themes, which I think would be like really relevant and able to like sort of put into this movie. And I don't really think they attack sort of a lot of like the emotional aspects of like why people are in these game are only playing this game and like what's going on in the world and how this affects that. It's just kind of like very base level stuff, and they don't really attack it any deeper, which I guess like they don't have to necessarily in like a blockbuster movie like this, but I would have liked it because it feels like they tried hinting at it.
So it was a 2-hour and 30-minute movie.
I still
thought they needed more time to flesh out the characters and to flesh out the world. They open the movie by saying the Oasis has no rules, but throughout the entire movie, there's a lot of rules, and it certainly doesn't seem like there are no rules. Can people die at any time? Can I walk up to somebody and shoot them? Can I be whatever avatar I want? There's certain things that you can only buy. You can be in a mech that you build, but you can't just be any sort of robot unless you either acquired, built, or bought. Like, there's a lot of rules. And mm-hmm. I just needed more time, I think, to figure out what the hell was going on in this world.
Going back to one of the things that you said, where you said that you felt like because it was a video game world, you didn't feel like as much of the stakes. I think for me, I kind of felt it because I think at a certain point they hinted that you would lose like all your coins or whatever you had
all your coins
collected because you couldn't like store it somewhere, which is a weird thing for something like this.
But
I think that's why.
What's the consequence?
I don't know. You have to start over, I guess. I don't know.
In a video game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it's like if I lost my 100-hour Zelda save file, like I'd get over it in a week. I'd be pissed, but I just don't know. I kept thinking, do you remember in Role Models where they're playing that LARPing game and he's like super into it and then he dies and then he's like, all right, man, that was fun. That was cool. Should we go get coffee? I just expected like one of them to lose all their coin. Maybe they're in the same room. They take the headset off and they're like, all right, should we get some dinner? Like, it's a game. Like, well, it's not if you die in the game, you die in the real world. If you lose all your money in the game, you lose all your money in the real world. They're just game.
I guess part of it is because like the real world is so bleak too. Although we only see one part of the real world, so I don't really know.
And to me, that's kind of where I had some problems in the movie. And especially if the world was so bleak because everybody was on their ass playing these games, they need to be collectively putting their minds together to get the world back on track. Like, this is almost like looking into the future where all these people are just going to get fat and turn into WALL-E characters just doing VR. I don't know. I just felt no sense of tension, even when the main characters were going to quote-unquote die because it was a video game.
Yeah, the real world stuff as well was just something that was off for me. I just didn't understand the rules in the real world. What was going on? Was it this ungoverned land? Was it this corporation that was running everything? Was it like what was going on?
I've seen and heard people say if you read the book you'd know, but this movie's got to stand on its own.
I shouldn't have to read the book to know, you know? I don't know if there's anything else specific. Ben Mendelsohn was great as the villain.
I loved him.
I guess he's just automatically just going to be the villain in like every blockbuster. He's going to be the villain in Captain Marvel too. He's just great.
And
it was different from sort of like his other villainous roles where he's not like necessarily just like straight. I guess like he is evil in this, but like you can understand why he's evil.
He's just a businessman. Yeah. I almost sided with the guy. Someone in business myself, I was like, this little dork, he's all good at heart. Like, this guy just wants to monetize the business.
He felt more fully formed than, like, our heroes did, to be honest. Yeah. So,
because I had a reason for knowing why he wanted to do the things he did. At the end of the day, I still don't really know why Parzival / Ty Sheridan wanted to win. He just wanted to win because he likes the world and video games. You know?
Yeah.
What about Olivia Cooke and Ty Sheridan? What'd you think of them? I thought they were fine.
They were fine. Okay. Ty Sheridan's character, I just like they. It was there wasn't anything to him because there was no like faults necessarily, and he didn't really have like any weird like emotional connection to anyone in particular. I guess in a way, I get what I've read is. I guess I don't know what people call him, but there's like the Mary Sue or the Peggy Sue or whatever for
Mary Sue's
for like female characters that are essentially just like perfect and have no faults or flaws, and that's kind of like what he was like the male version of that for some reason, which was kind of weird. I thought Olivia Cooke was fine. She was better than him, but again, what they did with the character I didn't really like all that much. They kind of made her out to be a certain way and then kind of flipped it on its head entirely, which was I guess in my mind problematic. I like the supporting character H, which is like Parzival's best friend, Tash Sheridan's best friend. That was a pretty good character. Mark Rylance again was really good, although I would say his character kind of felt like an older person, not a cynical older person that hates younger people, but like what an older person would view young people that like love playing video games would be like an introvert, and that's kind of how he played it. It was a good portrayal, but like it just kind of felt like that. Like that was he was just like, oh, these little kids like playing video games. This is probably what they're like. They're scared to yeah. talk to people and awkward.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. And there are two other people that I thought were really good in the movie, but are could be a spoiler, so we'll hold on that. And then the last thing is, you kind of can see that this is going to happen from the trailer, but there is some forced romance in this movie that just got awful. I really liked the action. I really liked some of the camera work during some of the scenes. I liked seeing the Easter eggs and stuff. I want to see it again at some point to kind of see what else I can spot. But yeah, let's talk about spoilers unless you got anything else.
Yeah. No, one last thing. I actually didn't notice like as many references and like Easter eggs and stuff as I was expecting to.
They weren't shoving it down your throat as much as I thought.
Which is nice. Yeah. Which is nice. Mm-hmm. So I guess, all right. So our grades then for Ready Player One, what was your grade?
C+.
All right, I'm going B-.
Yeah.
I think it's entertaining. I think it'll be fun to rewatch, but outside of that, you're not getting anything more from it, you know?
There's rewatchability, and it wasn't horrible. There was a lot of problems I had with it, which we'll talk about very soon here. But C+ kind of sounds bad, but it's average plus. It's pretty good, you know? Yeah. Better than average.
Yeah.
Top line of average, I guess you could say.
All right, so that is it for non-spoiler. Starting now, we will do Ready Player One spoiler review. All right, Ready Player One spoiler review. What do you want to talk about specifically? Should we talk about the romance?
Yeah, let's get the romance out of the way. Oh my God, I had my hand over my mouth and eyes during this dance sequence that they have, specifically spinning around in the air, then bringing out a Saturday Night Live disco reference and literally doing like in the middle.
Wait, dude.
I almost walked out of the theater.
What was like the weird sexual stuff that all of a sudden started happening? That was so out of place in this movie.
Oh my God. At one point she starts rubbing on him and you see in the real world that his pants are getting orange and stuff. I was like, what is going on here? This is kids. Damn it.
I thought we were about to get some weird like Seth Rogen style humor there from him in the real world. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Jesus.
And then they meet for the first time in real life, and he automatically says, like, I'm in love with you, which is just like, what? Stop.
And starts touching her face within seconds.
So awkwardly. So creepy.
First of all, she's like, you wouldn't like what you've seen if you would see me in real life. And he's like, no, I bet I would. I love you. So in reality, it's probably a big old ugly lady, but all this girl has is a kind of slightly off-colored birthmark over her eye. She's still gorgeous.
Yeah, that stuff was so bad. That was some wild stuff. I
legit had my hand over my face. Oh my God.
I just felt awkward for the actors for having to participate me too. In that. It makes you think, was there like four other scenes that were cut out? Or like there couldn't have been because this movie is already so long.
The bro said I love you within a day. I know he's been following this girl for a while. Like he watches her Twitch streams or whatever. He knows all of her moves. But he meets her. He talks to her in a race a little bit. And within a day, he loves her. Whew. I mean, this is just a stereotypical Fedora Reddit wear. My God. Let's go back to the super sensitive clothes that they wear. Why would you wear super sensitive clothes during a battle that you need to win that the stakes are so high that you need to win this game? At some point, Ben Mendelsohn gets kicked in the balls and it literally affects him in the game and in real life. Wouldn't you want to kind of put God mode into work there and go in not being able to be affected in real life by being hit by stuff?
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And what did those suits sort of pose as a positive? What was the benefits?
Okay, so the positive is I understand, like, if you want the full true experience playing the game and living out this great simulation. But yeah, during the final fight, I'm taking that stuff off.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Another just sort of random note tied to that. People playing this game, there must not be a lot of obesity in the world. You know,
because they're running around
hexagonal treadmills and shit, just constantly running and moving around. Pretty good fitness stuff. But yeah, no, I didn't understand that. It was just like another weird disconnect between like the real world and the video game that didn't make sense.
What about some of the references? Was there anything that stood out to you that you really liked or didn't like? I'll start with when they started just throwing out references about GoldenEye. I was just like, oh, okay, they're talking about GoldenEye for N64. Let me guess, they're going to bring up Oddjob. And they did. Let me tell you something. You play as Oddjob in GoldenEye, you're a prick. Oddjob is literally banned from GoldenEye. I don't know if you ever played GoldenEye, but Oddjob is tiny. He can throw a hat that kills people immediately. Like, he's banned from playing the game. And nobody likes slappers only.
Yeah,
that's the also, mode that they take the guns stupid. Away. They were just saying stuff that was irrelevant just to be like, reference here, deep, deep reference here.
So dumb.
That bothered me.
So dumb.
What about you? No. I did like seeing Battletoads, though. That was great.
I didn't really have like any like certain reference-y stuff that really stood out to me. I
really liked seeing a Halo in the game. I was kind of just looking in the background constantly. I really liked when Chucky came out and they dropped the one F-bomb in the movie.
Yes, that was hilarious.
Got a laugh out of me. He goes, it's fucking Chucky.
Yeah. I guess the biggest standout would be the Shining sequence.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I really liked it.
I liked it a lot until it kind of like turned into like some sort of like comedic effort at a certain
wacky
point.
CG
and then
fest.
Like this weird like, yeah. But like, I don't like remember The Shining well enough since like I last saw it to like know what was going to happen entirely. And I was like, oh shit, I'm like actually kind of scared right now. But like, it was such like a great visual of them like walking into like the lobby of like the Overlook Hotel.
I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah. I know.
It looked really cool and it was perfectly recreated. I kind of knew what was coming. So I was laughing as soon as they got in there. You know, the ball rolled up to him. I knew the twins were around the corner. I knew hallway was coming.
Yeah.
So I really got a kick out of that scene. And I just wish there was more of that, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, I liked TJ Miller a lot. I didn't even know he was in this. And I think that the reason they didn't show him in real life, which I was waiting for the entire movie, is just kind of what he's going through right now with the sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. He was actually pretty good after, he had a bad year last year.
He did.
To say the least.
And did you know he was in this? I had no idea.
I knew it, but I forgot, like, leading into the movie. I knew that he had, like, been cast in it, but I didn't, like, remember, like, going to the movie. Because, like you said, they have not made it known that he's in this.
I didn't know Simon Pegg was in this.
It was like, yeah, I didn't know Simon Pegg was in it either.
And he was good, too.
Doing an American accent and then doing an American accent impersonating a British accent. Phenomenal. Great work by him.
Yeah.
I wanted more of him, to be honest.
Me too. Yeah. I was unclear. What happened between those two? Who bought the company from who and who sold? Like, what happened and why? Did they hate it? And it was because they're the girl? But what happened business-wise between those two?
I don't know what happened business-wise. I think... I don't know. It's something that they don't explain very well. But I guess from guessing currently, just based on what I'm trying to remember, was that I think people tried like changing the company into being sort of this more like revenue generating kind of thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Simon Pegg was behind that, and I think that forced Halliday to like be a little bit more introverted and exclusive from everything else, and then the womanly stuff happened and that made him like want to separate, and he bought his share so he could have full control, I think.
I was a little unclear on
just based on,
that
on the ending
thing.
Just based on the ending with Simon Pegg, it made it seem like he didn't harbor any resentment towards Halliday and he seemed to agree with everything that Halliday believed.
Yeah.
Which, what did he believe? He wanted this world to do what?
This is why this movie, as long as it was, might have needed an extra 20 minutes. There are a lot of things that I was confused about, and I'm not going to go read the book to figure it out. Did you see the quarter that Ask Jeeves gave him coming as the extra life? Because I called it right away.
I did not. I had a feeling it had to be something, but then I forgot
I didn't know extra life, but he literally forced him to take it.
Yeah. It definitely had to be something, and then like I forgot about it, and then it happened, and I was like, oh. All right. Yeah, makes sense.
Like I said, I really liked the first action set piece. The race was really cool. Although I think somebody would have figured it out a long time ago. Somebody would have fallen asleep on the treadmill going backwards and entered the backwards. Like, that would have been figured out long ago. People are figuring out Westworld on episode 3. They would have been able to get key number 1 pretty quickly, I think. But I really like that action set piece.
I also don't understand. This is just another thing with this friggin' Wade Watts character just being a god in this universe. Like, first off, Artemis is the one that's way more accomplished in this world and seems to be more interested in doing whatever should be rightfully done with the Oasis. And then he comes in, and all of a sudden she's like, oh, no, you're good. Yeah, you do it. You do it. She's the one that found, like, the first secret mission or whatever, the secret key race.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, the Oasis needs you, even though she's the better gamer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she thinks he's more pure of heart. I don't know.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I did like the ending final fight, kind of. It was fine. I liked the villain becoming Mecha Godzilla, although I wish they weren't like Mecha Godzilla. Like, we know. Well, I guess maybe people don't know. I don't really have an attachment to Gundam Warriors or Gundam Wing or whatever it is. Yeah, so when he was like, I choose the form of Gundam, some people in the theater were like, yeah, clapping. It didn't really mean that much to me. I kind of wished it was like a Power Ranger mech or something.
This just reminds me of, like, partially there's like this whole movie, all the references just remind me of, there's this tweet when like Chappie came out, where it was like, the dude was like, me sitting in the theater watching Chappie, me to my girlfriend when Chappie first appears on screen. That's Chappie. It's just like, that just makes me think that's like what everyone would be saying like during these references. Like, that's why people like them.
I was holding back a little bit, trying to turn to my wife, be like, that's from Gundam Wing. did you see that? That was Battletoads. Hey, those are Spartans from Halo, the series Halo, from Microsoft. And just trying to like name all the references, because nobody cares. Nobody wants to. Nobody cares that I know the references. I care because I think I'm cool. But like, I just, people think you're a douchebag. You're like, hey, did you catch that? Yeah, that was a pretty deep one. I don't know if you know that one. That being said, let me be a douchebag and say that the Gundam did jump out of the Serenity from Firefly, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Oh, it was just some random ship.
Yeah, go ahead.
What did you think of Ben Mendelsohn's avatar in the Oasis? I thought it was hilarious. So weird. I thought it was so great. It was just like such a perfect reflection of like what his character believed he was like actually
what
like.
What he thinks he looks like. Yeah.
I did think there were some scenes, as much as I liked Ben Mendelsohn and most of the scenes that he was in, it felt like the tone of those scenes were a little bit different from the rest of the movie. Until like the third act, they felt like they were trying to make it very like, oh, he's like a classic 80s villain, so there's like some humor to it because he's like kind of stupid, like this kind of stuff. But then like you jump back into like Wade Watts' story and his aunt dies and it's like, oh wow, that's intense. And then it's like, oh yeah, Ben Mendelsohn kind of stupid.
Yeah, he was a cheesy villain, but then he kills people. yeah his tone's all over the place. And then Wade Watts goes, you know what, screw you. You killed my mom's sister. So, yeah, I mean,
that was so weird.
Does anyone, how do we tell him that that's his aunt?
Just another thing that just shows that this movie was written by an idiot. Yeah. Like, who says
and
that?
And then why does everybody that's like, we stand for Parzival, we're Wade Watts, we're going to not let you get him in the van. But then he's got a gun, and like everybody gets out of the way immediately.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, I think they all realize, well, it's just a video game. I'm not gonna get shot for this.
Yeah. And then the actual police show up for the first time in the entire movie.
Right, and that's what I was confused of. I was like, is Ben Mendelsohn the law? How is he doing all this evil shit?
I was so confused.
Who runs this world?
Seriously. Yeah. And is the rest of the world like that kind of little shanty town, or is like the rest of the world more built up? I didn't get it. Yeah. It was just so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to understand the real world more to understand, like, I guess just why people were the way that they are.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed people had like, we're getting towards the end of the movie here, when he wins the game, people already had GG signs made, which is good game. They're like, hey, good job. They just had these signs made. Everyone's celebrating. It's all good. I was just like, wow, you guys whip those up quick.
can we talk about basically the official ending then? What he does once he like takes over control of the company and is a trillionaire.
Shut it down.
His world-changing thing is to shut down the game 2 days a week, mm-hmm. so he can make out with the girl was gifted to him.
His very ugly, flawed monster of a girlfriend that he sees past the barely visible birthmark of a beautiful girl. And what a hero this guy is. No, that was so corny.
Such a dumb ending.
Also, I was unclear. Was he doing it so he could like get the world back on track? Or was he just doing it because he realized there is the real like, what was his motivation for doing it?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, it wasn't clear. Because it's not like he was saying, I've realized that this game is a good thing, but the real world exists. So I'm going to be the president of this new thing, this initiative to get the world back. He just showed him making out in his sweet new bachelor pad because he's got a bunch of money.
There was no moment.
What a hero.
There was no moment in this movie where he ever seemed to show any regard or interest in making the world a better place. And that's why
there was the test at the end, but I think that was just more of like, no, I really like this video game and I want to do what's best for this video game that I like.
Exactly.
I don't want to lose this. But now that I have a real life hot monster of a girlfriend that I can see past all of her visual and beauty flaws, now I'll shut 2 days. Like, was he a shitty lead?
He was.
Yeah.
He had no flaws except for the fact that his only interest was in the Oasis. It lied.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I think I'm fine with my rating. C+.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% fine with my rating. I would maybe drop it down, but I don't want to match you again. So
yeah,
it's entertaining enough.
Having the same
It's just fun to complain about. But, like, I thought the action sequences were great, so.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg still got it. It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there are some cringy moments. There's a lot of problems with it, but there's a lot of great in it. There's a lot of good in it. It was fun. Yeah.
All right, anything else?
No, man, that's it. That's
all right,
it.
So,
I recommend it. Yeah, see it once. See it in the theater.
Yeah, so grades again, Andy had a C+, and I had a B-.
C+.
Decent enough, above average movie. We will hopefully be back maybe early next week with a Quiet Place review. Otherwise, maybe I'll have a guest host. Otherwise, you guys got to wait a couple weeks, and then we have Quiet Place and Rampage. And then we move into Avengers and all that fun stuff in May. Thank you for listening. Remember to like, subscribe, review, comment, share. Go check out glitchup.com. Go to glitchup.com/support to see the three ways that you can help us out. If you like the podcast, like us, like the website, glitchup.com/feedback. If you want to give us any feedback anonymously, or, I mean, if you want to put your name in there, shoot for the stars, to help us get better at this, help us get better at the site, anything you'd like to hear more or see more. Thanks for listening yet again, and we will see you soon.